Well, tonight is the first introductory lecture, and the title I want to give it is The Importance of Knowing the Real Jesus. And let me begin with a couple of fairly obvious and perhaps superficial ideas. It ought to be important, even if you look at our world dating, for example. B.C., for those of you who aren't sure, means before Christ, and A.D. means the Anno Domini, or the year of the Lord. Someone in the 6th century tried to assess the time of the birth of this Jesus of Nazareth, and the accepted world dating that we all follow hinges on the birth of this person. So for that alone, you'd think, well, he's got importance in our history. It might be worth knowing more about him. A second, perhaps surface observation that makes it obvious again is that there are, in the 1980 world statistics, there are 4,500,000 is the population of the world. A third of them are Christian. 1,500,000 people in this world claim to look to Jesus as the inspiration for their life. So again, one would expect some importance in coming to know him. But going a bit more deeply, why would the world, so many people want to follow him, and why would the whole dating system be geared on him? I think the simplest answer that comes to me is that those who knew Jesus, his contemporaries, Peter and James and John and so on, found that he gave meaning and direction to their life. That's putting it at the most simple level. There's a statement I've just put here for you if you'd like to look at it briefly in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12. Peter and John, two of the disciples of Jesus, not long after his death, they were hauled up before the Jewish court and accused for what they were doing, disturbing the peace and so on. And Peter said, look, we've got to speak of what we've seen and heard. And he went on to say, of all the names under heaven, there's only one by which we can be saved. Now, what's behind that? Saved means what? Given meaning to my life, given direction to it. And here's Peter the fisherman saying, look, there's only one person that I've ever met that's made life meaningful to me. And I'm sure, he says, it's the same for you and for everybody. We've got to tell people about Jesus. Another one of Peter's friends, another fisherman, John, a beloved disciple, as he calls himself, he has that statement in his first letter, chapter 5, verse 12. He said, if you've got the Son, you've got life. If you haven't got the Son, you haven't got life. And the words kind of up there might mean something, but if you take them down into the life experience of the man who spoke them, you're getting, aren't we, some kind of glimpse of the importance of Jesus. Whatever John thought life was, when he met Jesus, it was a totally different thing. Life came to mean something so different for John that he committed his whole career to it, his whole life to it. And here he is spending his life trying to tell people, hey, this Jesus of Nazareth, if you've got him, you've got life. If you haven't, I don't know what you've got, but it's not life. And it wasn't just Jesus' own contemporaries, his own friends, the people he met in Galilee and so on, that said this. Those who learnt about Jesus from him in the next generation, just after Jesus' death, and typically, I suppose, Paul of Tarsus, in one of his letters, the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 17, he goes through all the different religious movements of his day. He was a Pharisee, learned in the law. He was a man who'd been trained in the Greek schools of Tarsus. He could handle different cultures and different languages and by his letters it's quite obvious that he was a brilliant man. And when he goes through all these different religious movements of his day, he said they're all just pale reflections or they're distractions. What's real, he said, is Christ, Jesus. That's what's real to Paul. He goes on to say about this Jesus person, there's only Christ. He's everything, he's in everything, means everything. And I might just read you from an earlier statement in that same letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 6. Rather excitedly, he says to these people, "The good news which has reached you is spreading all over the world and producing the same results as it has among you. Ever since the day when you heard about God's grace and understood what it really is." Now that wasn't theory for Paul. It was an excited experience. He found, and Peter and John found, that what Jesus meant to them, in fact, when they started to speak about it and live with people, it meant the same to people of all different cultural backgrounds in the Roman Empire. And if you know anything of the history of the first century of our era, the spread of Christianity was incredible. Right through the whole area, swept through it. All classes of people, all different languages and all different religious cultural backgrounds. There was something about Jesus that rang bells in people's hearts and minds and had something to do with life and meaning and direction. And it caught on incredibly. What was it about him is our journey this term, who is Jesus? Paul again, finally on this, just to the Philippians, it's chapter 2, verse 15. He says to the people of Philippi, "You will shine in the world like bright stars because you're offering it the word of life." You, he said, are offering the world the word of life, Jesus. Now, statements like that from his own contemporaries and those immediately after him can be found all the way through the 2,000 years of the church's history, as you know. I won't take you through that journey, of course, but I would like just to pick up two statements of more recent times, because it still is the claim made by certain people about Jesus. Here we have, excuse me, the statement from the first paragraph of the Vatican II document Gaudium et Spes, which is sometimes called the Church in the World. And that's the opening statement, 1965, so that's 20 years ago nearly now. And when the bishops of the Catholic world came together, they dared to make that statement. "The joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the men and women of this age, especially those who are in any way afflicted, these too are the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the followers of Christ. Indeed, nothing genuinely human fails to raise an echo in their hearts, for theirs is a community composed of men and women. United in Christ, they are led by the Holy Spirit in their journey to the kingdom of their Father, and they've welcomed the news of salvation which is meant for everyone." Now, how true that statement is in people's experience is something to be tested and checked by your own observation. But the ideals are there. There are some people who believe that Jesus is in fact the one who has brought a good news which is relevant to today's world, and that the church ideally wishes to capture that message and that vision and contributed to the building of this better world. I did think also it might be worth here, just to finish this off, just take a statement from the man who founded the religious order to which I belong, a certain act of loyalty, is that the word here? But that's a Frenchman, middle of last century, and in the middle of his world, he too, and there are millions who could make statements like this, but take his. He says, "From the heart of Jesus pierced on Calvary, I see a new world coming forth, a great and life-giving world, inspired by love and mercy. A world which the church must perpetuate on the whole earth." So, my first simple point is this. Why would it be important to know the real Jesus of Nazareth? For 2,000 years we've got people all around us, saints, saying it's very important, it's about life, it's about meaning, and it's got something to say to the whole world, whatever the culture you belong to, whatever language you speak, this is relevant.